Good morning. Jared introduced himself. John introduced himself. Hi, I'm Daniel Walker. It's a pleasure to be here with you. We do have guests, and if you are a guest, we are appreciative of your presence. FYI, for those of you who are longtime attenders frequent attenders, our sermon guides are still available. They're not in the bulletin. They're on the table out in the foyer. They're going to stay that way for some time. Sorry about that inconvenience, but I will retrain you if you would like to use those. Make sure to stop by that table, and there was a mass exodus out to get them. Anyway, make sure you pick one up on your way in next week when we come together again. Again, we know you could have picked somewhere else to be this morning. Could have been in the fishing hole. You could have been in front of your television, where many of you might be this afternoon watching the big game. But you chose to be here. And I admire that, and I honor that, and I appreciate that so very much. We are working this year on laying some foundation and some groundwork and having one theme like we have the past few years. Remember, of course, past few years we said things like, yes, Lord. That's right, because the Lord likes it when we answer in the affirmative. That's not out of guilt or shame or pressure, but because we love serving the Lord. We've said enter to worship, leave to. That's right. You remember some of those things. Some of you don't. But this year, we're saying, take the next. Yeah. That's right. You remember that. Good. And that's why you see this word over here to my right, your left, that says start. And this word over here to my left, your right, that says goal. Because every one of you who are on the Christian journey have started on this journey, and that's what it is. We have a start to the journey, and we have a goal that we're trying to reach. Those of you who aren't New Testament Christians aren't on that journey yet. You haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. So we realize that any of you in this room who have obeyed the gospel, have the Spirit inside of you. That's where He lives, and He lives in each and every one of us. And we all, with the Spirit's help, are shooting for that goal. That goal is spiritual maturity. That goal is saved souls. That goal is heaven. And we realize that we get there by God's grace. Something that you'll hear preached here quite frequently, we may not have done it very well in the past. We may not have taught you very well in the past. We may not have understood these things very well in the past. But something you'll always hear from this pulpit is that we're saved by God's grace, right? We're saved by God's grace. No matter what you do, you will never warrant salvation. You'll never earn it. You'll never get there on your own merit. But we do the things that we do, not because we're trying to earn salvation, but because we're trying to please the Father. Jesus says, I always do those things that please the Father. And that's what we want to do. We love Him so much. He is so great. He is so amazing. He is so magnanimous that we want to do everything possible to see the smile on His proverbial face. We want to see Him pleased with us. We want to hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to put you over many things. We're looking forward to those words, not because we're trying to do these things out of shame and guilt, but because we love Him so much and we want to do those things that are pleasing to Him. Although we aren't saved by our works, we do these works, we do these things. We're not saved by these works and activities. We do them anyway because we realize that our actions and our attitudes keep Satan away. Remember, of course, what it says in James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We don't want that devil around us, do we? He's going to tempt us. He's going to try to get us to stumble. So we do the things that are pleasing to the Father. We submit ourselves to God, not to earn salvation, not to earn a place in heaven, but to keep the devil away, because that's what it says in James 4 and verse 7. Because we want to be near God. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's the precious fountain, free to all. A healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Right, John? That's what we sing here. That's what we believe here. That's what we pray here. And that's what we try to teach others as well. This year, we're discussing four different areas. I don't know if I've made this clear. Please listen to me this morning. We're discussing four different areas in this theme of taking the next. All right, four different areas. Number one, the area is areas, things in which we can take that next step, things in which we can move forward. I can be a better parent because of Jesus. I can be a better husband because of Jesus. Some of you can be better wives because of Jesus. Some of you can be better grandparents because of Jesus. I can be a better employee because of Jesus. I can be a better employer because of Jesus. In all of these are areas that I can move toward the goal. I can apply them to my life. That's one of the things that we're saying this year. But number two, we're saying there's different tools or there's an abundance of gear to help us on this journey. We're heading toward the goal, and as we're on this trek, as we're going up the mountain, climbing this arduous mountain, this difficult way, the peaks and the valleys, the rivers, the streams, going around this and that and doing all of these things, there is gear that's been provided for us. At the very beginning of this journey that we've started, God gives us a backpack full of gear. He gives it to us. Each and every one of us has these things. We have these things available to us, but sometimes we don't use those things. So the purpose in this area that we're saying this morning is the fact that I want you to understand the gear that you have that sometimes you aren't using. Number three, reasons to take that next step toward the goal. And number four, blessings received when we do that as well. So these are the four areas. Today, I want to look at a bit of the gear that God has given us. I want to look at one of the tools that we have in our backpack, you see? And in order to do that, I think it would be behoove us, it would be important for us to look at a passage like Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37, what we see is the Lord talking to Ezekiel. Obviously, Ezekiel, Lord talking to Ezekiel, or through Ezekiel sometimes. But to Ezekiel, the Lord takes him and puts him in this valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel says that these bones are very dry. They've been dead and gone a long, long time. So in this valley, there's all of these bones, and he says something very important. He asks the question, can these bones live? Can these bones live? If you ask me something like that, I would probably say no. No, they've already had their time. They're dead and gone. But I like what Ezekiel says, and perhaps if the Lord is asking me the same thing, I would respond the way Ezekiel did. And I like the way he responds. He says, "Oh Lord God, you know. You know all things. I don't know what you can do. I don't know what you will do, but if you want these bones to live, you have the power to do it. You created Adam and Eve. Adam from the dirt, Eve from Adam. You created everything in the universe with just your words. It's an amazing thing what you can do. If you want to take these bones and make them live, oh God, I know you can do it. I believe you." But then he reports something very minor that could be easily overlooked in verse 7. Ezekiel 37 verse 7 reads like this. "I prophesied," Ezekiel says, "I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone." The bones came together. Now, there's obviously a number of very important things about this chapter, and we could look at some lessons here, but the thing I want to draw your attention to is right there in verse 7, that the bones came together. In fact, this passage is what the song, Them Dry Bones is based on. You might know the song, you know the melody, and if you want to, you can sing it with me. Ezekiel cried them dry bones, Ezekiel cried them dry bones, Ezekiel cried them dry bones. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. The foot bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. The thigh bone connected to the backbone connected to the neck bone connected to the head bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Them bones gonna walk around. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. I am a preacher, not a song leader again. But you know the song, don't you? In fact, there's something very different to it. If you've ever watched the movie Monsters University, those kids, those little monsters on the bus are singing about the tailbone and the wing bone and all of these things. That song is a spiritual song. It started out as an old spiritual. Did you know that? But the only way that them bones were going to work is if they were connected to one another. The only way those bones were going to do anything, even if there were sinew and muscle and skin put on those bones, if they were still separated, they would just lay there. The only way our bodies work together is because the bones are connected to each other. And that's the point that I want us to make today. If we want to, here's your chance again, take the next. If we want to do that, we must be connected to one another. Christians are connected to one another. That's the fact. That's what we do. And this is one of the tools that's in our tool bag. We have this backpack full of gear, and we're looking in it. We're rooting around to try to find those things. Imagine Mary Poppins, if you will, sticking her hand way down deep into that carpet bag, and we're trying to find the things that we need in there. But we know if we listen to the word of the Lord, oh, hear the word of the Lord, we know that we have in our tool bag connectivity. That we have this connectedness, and it is something that is so spectacular. In order for us to understand this subject fully, I think we have to back up to the time of Christ. You know what the plea of the churches of Christ and the restoration movement was years and years and years ago? They said, let's go back to the original pattern. There's been so much falling away. There's been so much drifting away from the plan of God's word. And we sometimes fail when we're trying to go back to it. But there's been so much error in the world and in religion. We want to go back to what they were doing. We want to do the things that they did. We want to call ourselves Christians and Christians only. We want to do Bible things in Bible ways. That's why we immerse in water for the forgiveness of sins. That's why we meet on the first day of every week. That's why we sing without the accompaniment of instrumental music, because that's what they did. Now, you might have a disagreement whether those things are important or not, and that's not the subject for this morning, but that's the whole idea, and that's what I want to do. What was Christ's original intention for the church? Are you hearing me? What did Christ want for you and for me as members of the church? Well, I think we could say a few things. Number one, and we've said this a few weeks ago, Christ wanted us to rely on Him. He said, I want you to obey, I want you to live for me, and I'm going to give you my spirit so that you can help, you can obey me the way that I want you to, and I'm going to give you the sword of the spirit, I'm going to give you the word of God, and this is what I want you to live by, you see? He wants us to rely entirely on Him. Christ knew that nourishment came from Him. In John 15 and verse 1, He says, I am the true vine, right? I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verses 4 to 6, He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Please, He says, this is very important. One of the things that He says, what we see in the New Testament gospel accounts, is that the church is going to be the fruition of all of these things in the Old Testament. In Genesis, we see the fall. We see that they sin, and we no longer have access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life, that is. We no longer have that access to it. So what we see is that we are restored. Jesus wanted to restore all of those things. And then when the tabernacle is being built, if you're reading through the Old Testament, maybe you just read that this past week if you've been starting at the very beginning of the year, but we see that He wanted to build the tabernacle, and that was the place where God would dwell with His people. Eventually, Solomon built the temple, and we see in this dedication of the temple that the Lord comes down, His Shekinah, His glory cloud comes down, and He resides in the temple. Ezekiel starts telling about how the glory of the Lord leaves. And all after Ezekiel, whenever they go into captivity, when they come back from captivity, they are just longing for the return of the Lord. And you know what the Gospels say? He's back. He's back. That's why Jesus gets so upset whenever He goes into the temple. He says, this is my house, people, and you're treating it this way? So part of the gospel accounts is the fruition of all of these things that people are looking forward to in the Old Testament. But another thing we see is the foundational documents for the church. This is the way we want you to behave. So Jesus, in this foundational document in John 15, says, abide in me. Live in me. Live according to my spirit. I'm going to send this helper for you, this comforter. I'm going to send this advocate. And what one individual said is that Jesus is our advocate for the Father. He is our stand-in. He makes us look good to the Father. But the Spirit who resides in us reminds us that we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He reminds us that we belong to the Lord, that we are His. You see, it's that seal that we see. So He says, abide in me. Paul taught, if you look over in Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Read with me to about verse 18 in Colossians 1. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him, verse 17, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. How amazing is that? Keep reading in verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So what he tells us is, if we look at Christ's original intention for the church, is that the church, that you and I as individuals are to rely on him. And we could keep on going. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, talks about living by the Spirit instead of living according to the flesh. And if you want those things, they come from the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you only get those things if you yield yourself to the Spirit instead of yielding yourself and walking by the flesh. But not only are we here to rely on him, listen to number two. Why we're here, what the church is intended for, what he wanted for us. He wants us to be assisted by others and to assist others. Again, that foundational document, Jesus is telling about the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan, you of course remember, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews, and the Samaritan was there along this Jericho Road. It was the Jericho Road, wasn't it? Yeah, I think so. I'd have to look again. I forget. I'm sorry. But he's going along this very dangerous road, and he's robbed, and he's left for dead. Now, we're not ever told if he is completely unconscious or not, so remember that here in just one moment. But here a Levite walks by, here a priest walks by, and here a Samaritan walks by, and the Samaritan helps where the other two did not. So he said, if you are living by my precepts, you're going to be neighborly. The whole point in there was about who was being neighborly. But here's the other part that we don't often think of. The Jew, that we believe he was a Jew anyway, that's what Jesus was implying. The Jew who was there left for dead may have had a bit of consciousness. He may have gained some consciousness while this Samaritan was taking care of him. And he let the Samaritan take care of him. Jews hate Samaritans. Samaritans hate Jews, at least in this time period. And this Jew allowed the Samaritan to take care of him. So what we see is that Christ's original intention was for us to assist others and then be assisted by others. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of, that's right, of Christ. This is his law. Bear you one another's burdens. We're here to assist one another and be assisted by one another. Paul commanded us a little later there in Galatians chapter 6 to do good unto everyone. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not faint. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all people, unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith. What are we here for? What was his original intent for you as a member of his body? To assist others and be assisted by others. But then thirdly, and I just want to read a few passages here, to connect with others. And this is really the whole idea that I'm getting at here, this point right here. If you've heard nothing else, forget my singing. Forget the other things that you've heard this morning. Listen to this. Listen to the connectivity that Jesus wants. Jesus says in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Did you hear that? Romans 12 and verse 5 says, even though we are many, he says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, one of another. Do you hear that? We're connected. That's the whole idea behind the church. Please hear me. When people obeyed the gospel in Acts 2 and verse 38, if we'll keep reading on there a bit, you see that they were added to the church. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. How important is this? This is so important. This was what he made you for. He's made us a new people so we could be connected to one another. We go on. May the God of endurance, Romans 15, 5 and 6, and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Now, that's what he said to the Thessalonians, that you're doing this. Is that what he would say to us? Are we building one another up? Are we encouraging one another? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. What are we here to do? To encourage one another. We're connected to one another. What you do affects me. What I do affects you. What Sam does affects Don. You see? It's all together. Are you hearing me? Am I getting through to you? 1 John 4:21, this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I'm not just saying this because I want you to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. I'm saying this because these are the words from God and from his Spirit through the divinely inspired men. We obey them. What are we supposed to do? Christ's intention for the church is here in God's word. But what do we do? I can't answer for you. I can give you a few of my observations about some things that I see from you, but I can tell you what I do sometimes and what I have done many times. I usually try to do it all by myself. All by myself. You liked Carrie Underwood last week, so I thought I'd kick in a little bit more for you. That's what I try to do. I come to worship services, and then I leave. I come back again, and then I leave. Sometimes I fail to connect with you. I try to do it all by myself. We try to fight sin and Satan alone. And let me tell you, church, it is a fight. According to Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, he says, put on the panoply of God, the whole armor of God. The panoply means everything, everything you have. Pan means everything, not bread, all right? In Spanish, it means bread. But panoply, it does, doesn't it? I'm right. Okay, I thought so. Panoply means everything. You see, don't put on the bread of God. Put on the everything that God gives you. All these tools that are in our tool bag, put them on. And he says, why do this? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We're wrestling, people. What about us spending more time together? Is that what we do, or do we do it alone? Are we craving? Are we searching for those times together? And I'm not just talking about assembly times. Maybe assembly times would be enough if we met every single day like the New Testament church did. It says daily they did this. Daily they met in one another's homes. Are we craving those things? Are we searching those things out? Are we connecting to one another? But what we do is, trying to do it all by ourselves, we struggle individually with sin and temptation. Do you know, listen to me for a second. Do you know when it was that Peter denied Christ? How many believers were with him when that happened? Zero. He was all by himself. Whenever he was with each other, what did he do? Well, here comes Malchus. I'm going to hack off his ear. That's what he did, didn't he? Whenever he was with each other, with other people, he was encouraged and he was emboldened. He was able to do these things. But when he's by himself, he denies Jesus. I'll never deny you, he said. But what about Paul and Barnabas? They were paired together. We said on Wednesday night that when people were sent out to serve God and bring people, to get them over there to that finish line, that goal, when people were sent out, they were always sent out by two. Jesus, I suggest to you, was never alone. Well, what about the time that he was in the wilderness? What does it say there in Matthew chapter 4? The angels ministered to him. He wasn't alone. What about whenever he went off by himself, the text says? He went to pray. You see? Never was he by himself. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. And that will teach you and I a lesson. Listen to me, church. Please hear me. Because this is very important to your spiritual development. I want to see every one of you there to that goal. If we read what the Bible says, it says very few of us are going to be saved. But I want all of you to be saved. And if you want to be saved, then you have to listen to this lesson. You have to listen to what Christians do. The tool in your tool bag, the thing that is in your backpack, the gear that you need, is the connectivity, is the church. What is the path to growth? Where do we go from here? This is a bit different, but could I have somebody be willing to come up here for 1 second? I'll try not to embarrass you. Raise your hand if you're willing to come up here and do something for me. Rod, you're it. I love my brother Rod. I think my brother Rod is a very strong cat. Tear that in half. That's not half. Oh, that's it. Just kidding. Did you see with what ease he did that? Break that. I know that's wasteful, and if you know me, that drives me bonkers. I hate waste, but it's very, hey, stay there. That was one pencil. Break this. Please don't actually break it, but. Okay. All right. Did you try? Okay, good. I tried. Stay there. I tried, and I couldn't do it, but I was hoping somebody, super muscly didn't come up here, Rod came up, and I was scared for a second. Tear that in half. Please don't. Okay, that's good enough. All right, you can sit down. I know we don't normally do that, but I want you to see what happened, all right? Rod tore one piece of paper. I gave him a ream of 500. Did he tear it? I hope not, because I don't want to pay for the, I guess only $3 or $4, but he didn't tear it all the way if he did. I gave him one pencil. He broke it. I gave him a bundle of about 30. Did he break them? Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. Verse 11 says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Did you hear what I said? I spent some time memorizing that this week, so I hope you heard. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Two will withstand the man who can prevail against one. Please hear me, church. When you leave this building today, you have the choice to be alone until next Sunday morning. Do you? Is there going to be an elder knock on your door, or the preacher, or anyone else, likely? Will anyone else knock on your door and say, hey, where are you? Where were you on Sunday night, Wednesday night, at our sweetheart's dinner on Saturday? Likely they won't, and that's okay. You don't have to be here every Wednesday night. It's offered for you. It's an encouragement for you. You don't have to be here at our sweetheart's dinner. You don't have to serve at our sweetheart's dinner. You don't have to eat at our sweetheart's dinner. I don't think that it's a vegetarian menu, but maybe they can work something out if you really wanted to go. But you do have the opportunity to connect to someone. Dim dry bones. Ezekiel saw them connect to one another and make a difference. I had Rod tear that paper in half and attempt with the ream, and tear the pencil in half and attempt with the bundle, so you can see visually how important this is. It's so important. It's so important to connect, because that is how we get to the goal. Pray with me. Father God, we're so thankful for your Spirit that affirms us, convinces us that we're saved because of the blood of your Son, Jesus. We're so thankful for the sword of the Spirit that shows us your truth and how you would like us to live and the best way for us to live that contains all of these tools and all of this gear that can help us get to the journey. Father, we're just so thankful because you gave us that. But Father, we also are aware that you gave us the church and you gave us friends and family, and we realize how important that is. We look at people like Jonathan and David in the Old Testament, and we realize how important that friendship, that connectivity was to both of them. And Father, we want that. And we ask, Father, that you would put it on our hearts this morning after we leave here to connect with someone, to find an accountability partner, to find someone to study the Word of God with us. We don't have to wait for a program from the church to do that. Father, we sometimes do, but we could connect with somebody this week. We could have somebody over for dinner this week, Father, but sometimes we're waiting for those things. We could have a Bible study group in our house. We could get together with people this week, and Father, we pray that you would encourage us to do that because we know that'll help us grow. That'll help us stay in the way, the way that pleases you and the way that keeps the devil away, and that's what we want this morning. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to live for you and to take the next step toward the goal this year, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. We haven't talked about the plan of salvation, but again, the Bible tells us what we have to do. The Bible tells us that we obey the gospel, and instead of being this one individual pencil, that we have this group of Christians who helps us. And not only that, imagine, if you will, a rebar, a piece of rebar in the middle of that. That's the Spirit. That's God. And He is going to be with you if you'll let Him help you. Maybe this morning's the time you want to obey or come back to Him. If you want to do that in the public way, we encourage you to come now as together we stand and as we sing.